Welcome to Lady Bites, a short and sweet podcast. Join us, three female doctors, as we serve up bite-sized discussions on all things women's health. I'm Kira.
I'm Aoife.
And I'm Louise.
And we are three doctors with a special interest in women's health.
So today, Louise, you're going to talk to us about urinary incontinence.
Yeah, so I think we all have patients that come into us and say they've been wetting themselves when they're at the gym, or they're jumping on the trampoline with their kids. But it is a really common problem, and it also affects 60% of women. And interestingly, it can also affect men, albeit less commonly. So let's start off by defining what we're talking about. Urinary incontinence is the unintentional passing of urine, which broadly means you leak urine when you don't mean to. While it is a very common problem, it can be a very isolating problem. And women and patients may feel they cannot talk about their symptoms due to embarrassment. It can affect all areas of life, including exercise, leisure activities, work, public transport, intimate relationships, even with clothes to wear.
Oh yeah, no, I remember being in an exercise class before and we were about to start a skipping session and lots of the women were just joking and laughing themselves that isn't it great that we're wearing black leggings, because they were just going to take it for granted that we were going to leak wee during our skipping session.
And I think, you know, that really reflects the physical effects of that it has, but also, you know, the emotional implications of that as well. And people can feel really down in themselves and anxious or fearful when they have urinary incontinence.
It also stops people doing things. So they stop going for their run, they stop doing things they would have done before, or even picking up their little child. It's often something that will just trigger it. So it can be really debilitating for people.
So what you guys are talking about there, that's stress incontinence. That's when you're leaking at times when your bladder is under pressure. So jumping on your bouncing castle or going for your run, or even just when you're coughing or laughing or sneezing.
That's kind of what we all think about when we think of incontinence. It's probably the commonest thing that we think of is you cough, sneeze and you leak.
Another one we don't think of is urge incontinence. So this is when you feel a sudden urge to pass a pee. And sometimes people call this turnkey incontinence, because when you're coming to the door, suddenly realize you need to pee and that urge really hit.
Well, you see the tap and you just need to go immediately.
And that can definitely affect women planning where they're going to go. If they know they're going to be going for a walk in the park, they're terrified they're going to get that sudden urge and be looking for the bathroom.
I have so many women and they come in and they know every single toilet within about a 10-kilometre radius of their house. So they know where they go if they have an accident or an emergency.
And that was a real problem during COVID, because a lot of places were closed. So people didn't have access to toilets. And then people may suffer from a mixture of both stress and urge incontinence, so having both symptoms. Then there's slightly more unusual types of incontinence, like overflow incontinence. And this is where you're unable to empty your bladder fully. So that causes frequent leaking. And lastly, there's total incontinence. And this is where your bladder cannot store any urine at all. And this causes you to pass urine constantly or have quite frequent leaking.
So I know often we'll hear vaginal delivery, being pregnant, having kids, they've ruined my bladder. That's the reason I have urinary incontinence. But there's lots of other causes.
Yeah, and I suppose when we think of stress incontinence, it's usually the result of a weakening or a damage to the muscles and the pelvic floor, commonly from childbirth. But your urge incontinence is often the result of overactivity of the muscle, where it contracts too much and it's difficulty in controlling the bladder. Overflow incontinence, which is often caused by an obstruction or a blockage in your bladder, which prevents it from emptying fully. And then total incontinence can be caused by a problem with the bladder from birth or from an injury. And I suppose there's certain things that can increase your chance of urinary incontinence. They can include things like pregnancy, vaginal birth, obesity, family history of incontinence. Smoking increases your risk, a chronic cough, and then constipation. Increasing age, although really importantly, it's not inevitable as you get older.
And so Louise, then, I suppose, when should we be advising women to attend their doctor or attend a healthcare professional about this?
So I say to people, attend your GP or your women's health physiotherapist as soon as you have any type of incontinence or any signs of incontinence. While it's a common problem, you shouldn't feel embarrassed to talk about your symptoms. And also there's a lot that can be done about it. So you shouldn't just put up with your symptoms.
I think that's what women do. They just assume it's normal. Of course, I have a little, but it's fine.
Yeah, and I sort of just to talk through what would happen if someone comes into one of us. We're going to ask you questions about your symptoms. We're going to ask you to talk about the type of leaking, when it happens, how often it's happening. Are there any particular triggers such as exercise or drinking coffee? And then depending on the symptoms, if it's okay for us to examine you. And that examination might include an invasive examination such as a rectal or a pelvic examination. But just to understand, if you ever feel uncomfortable with that, you can always ask the doctor not to do that examination or ask to have a friend or family member accompany you.
And having something like a bladder diary is really handy, either doing that before your visit with the doctor where you write down, what are you drinking? How often are you dashing to the loo? And what were you doing when the leak happened? Did it just happen without any kind of thought, or were you jumping or at the gym or doing some activity?
Well, I think the important thing is that, you know, when you go see your GP, there's advice that they can offer to help. So that's why it's important to take that first step and go seek help. If you're not going to the GP, and your women's health physiotherapist can offer advice. One thing which we always say, and it's much easier said than done, is losing a bit of weight if needed. But things like just cutting down the amount of caffeine you're drinking might even help your sleep. Cutting down the amount of alcohol, because it's very irritating on your bladder. Fizzy drinks, acidic drinks, artificial sweeteners, and some other foods as well, like citrus fruits and tomatoes. They're all very irritating on your bladder, and as a result can trigger some incontinence. And then avoid drinking too much fluid. So have a little look at that 24-hour diary and just see how much fluid you're drinking. We say about 1.5 litres over 24 hours should be the maximum, and that's not a target.
So I can't be one of those cool kids with a massive Stanley cup now, drinking loads and loads of fluid.
No. And if you smoke cigarettes, stop smoking. And really importantly, actually, is avoiding constipation as well. Because if you're constipated, it aggravates the urinary incontinence. So aiming for 30 grams of fiber in your diet in a day. And I would say to people, one apple is 4 grams of fiber. So you need up on 7 apples a day, or that equivalent in fruit and vegetables. So really important to have a look at that in your diet.
We commonly prescribe pelvic floor exercises, and they can be done yourself. And it's not just about strengthening the pelvic floor. It's often about relaxing the pelvic floor. And women are often very tense. We tense our shoulders, we tense our pelvic floor, and that can actually worsen urinary incontinence. There's a really nice app called the Squeezy app. It's quite a nice one to remind you to do the exercises. There's all sorts of different apps and different devices that you can buy that you can use to help with pelvic floor exercises. And then obviously a pelvic floor physio, they're amazing at giving plenty of advice.
And I think it's great that pelvic floor physios, they'll often do a gynecological exam and they'll actually examine your pelvic floor muscles, because often there's an imbalance in pelvic floors. It actually isn't always that our pelvic floor is weak, which is what we always keep saying, squeeze, 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 but it isn't. And as you mentioned earlier, it might be about relaxing. And sometimes they'll find that actually one part of the pelvic floor is too tight and the other part isn't strong enough. And they can give specific exercises to work on that for you to do at home.
And then the other thing they're great advising on is the general pessaries. So pessaries are little devices that you can pop up into the vagina, and they help with the pelvic floor in terms of strength, but also it can help with incontinence. So you can review this with your GP, but very often actually the women's health physiotherapists are really good advising on the whole different variety of pessaries that are available, and also measuring you for a specific pessary. And the nice thing about pessaries is that you can fit them yourself. So for example, when you're doing exercise, you can pop them in and take them back out again. But also if you're not comfortable with this, there are pessaries that can be fitted for as long as up to 6 months. And a bit like we were saying there, the bladder being overactive, there's other exercises you can do for that in terms of bladder training or bladder drilling. And this is where you learn ways to wait longer between feeling that urge to urinate and then passing urine.
And then I know we don't like them, but the ads with the smiling women dancing, there are incontinence kind of products, pads, underwear that we can wear just so they aren't caught short, or they don't have the worry of leaking out onto their clothing.
And I think the big worry is that they're very expensive and some of them aren't very nice looking, but actually there's so much variety. It's really just having a look around and see what's there and what suits you. So the NHS website, stressnomore.co.uk, is great for incontinence products for containment of urine.
And what about the chair? I suppose we can't talk about urinary incontinence without measuring the chair. And I know plenty of my friends have paid and gone to these chairs, and a lot of them have found them useful. I've tried the chair, and it's the most bizarre thing if anyone out there has tried it.
Oh my God, you guys are so cool trying the chair. You're like, you're a pelvic floor electric shock chair. How does it work?
So the idea behind the chair is to try and help contract muscles in your pelvic floor, much like doing a big battery of pelvic floor exercises yourself. Again, they're new. We don't really have much long-term data on them, but they're interesting. That's definitely something to discuss if you find you're not getting somewhere. But equally, if it's not improving, best to go and get examined and make sure that you are doing the right thing and getting the right area treated.
And then also just to mention, a little bit similar to the chair is pelvic support or compression garments. So things you can wear maybe during exercise, like shorts or capri pants or leggings, that just offer this extra support to your pelvic floor and just kind of lift things up down there. So they can be good, not as expensive as the chair and not as cheap as just your pads, but a good kind of middle ground. And there's a whole variety available online. And in Ireland, we have EVB, which is an Irish company who produce great garments.
And so I suppose we've talked about treating urinary incontinence, but for women who aren't experiencing it, there's a number of things that we can do to prevent urinary incontinence and reduce the chance of it happening. So one thing that we love is a bit of myth busting. On social media, this kind of drink less and that's going to prevent urinary incontinence. It is so annoying when I hear people saying that because unless you've received specific advice from a healthcare professional, you shouldn't be restricting fluids. You're dehydrating yourself, which can cause you to feel rubbish, but also can make the issue with a urinary incontinence worse because less fluid leads to the urine becoming more concentrated. That more concentrated urine is more irritating for the bladder. So actually it's going to aggravate the issue.
So urine should be like straw colours, isn't that right? And
or champagne coloured if we're being fancy, but without the bubbles. And another myth then, since we're busting myths at the moment, that urine incontinence is a normal part of ageing, that it's just something that we should expect as we get older as women.
So women should not tolerate leaking. If you're leaking, you can do something about it. And there's so many people out there that are willing and able to help. And it's really all about not putting up with that small little leak. And we're really good at putting up with things as women. So trying to go and get help.
And then I think the really hard thing can be actually when someone's young and they're leaking because they feel, okay, no one my age is leaking. But actually, interestingly, 10 to 50% of women who haven't had a pregnancy can leak urine. You know, women of all ages can suffer from urinary incontinence.
I remember I once had a patient and I think she was 13. She did quite a lot of sports at school and she was completely embarrassed that she was leaking. And her mum didn't really know what to do. People thought it was nearly her that was putting it on.
Absolutely. And there are some things that we do when we're younger that increase your risk of having incontinence at a younger age. So high impact sports can be actually a big factor. Over 30% of female athletes deal with bladder leaks. Hormonal fluctuations as well around people's cycles can lead to leaking. Like we said before, overweight or obese.
And you're never too young to have issues with leaking. It can happen in young, middle-aged and older women.
And it's also not just women who give birth vaginally that have to deal with leakage. So women who have had a C-section also have to deal with incontinence. It's not just the childbirth that can weaken our pelvic floor. Pregnancy itself can do it. It's the weight of the pregnancy, but also pregnancy has a lovely way of relaxing and weakening everything so that our pelvic floor becomes weaker due to these hormonal changes.
What about running to the loo? So we often see it that women wait and then all of a sudden you dash to the loo.
We don't want to wet ourselves, so we all run to the bathroom. You're then retraining your bladder to want to pee straight away. So actually, if you can kind of just stop, take a breath and do a little pelvic squeeze, the bladder will actually learn just to let that spasm pass and then you can walk calmly to the bathroom. So I know a physiotherapist used to tell me that we should all be like those girls waiting in the bathroom queue who are standing there with their legs crossed, holding their pelvic floor and taking big breaths, because actually that's what they're trying to do. And if you do that, then actually you'll manage to stabilize your bladder. So to summarize, while urinary incontinence can be frustrating and embarrassing, there is a lot that can be done to treat it, including things that you can do yourself at home, but also make sure you talk to your GP or a local women's health physiotherapist about what options are best for you.
Thanks so much for listening. And remember, the advice shared in this podcast is informative, but not a replacement for personalised medical guidance from your own GP. Consult your doctor if any of the topics we've discussed today are concerning.
And if you enjoyed this episode, please follow us on Instagram at LadyBitesPodcast for further information. And reach out to us via email at LadyBitesPodcast@gmail.com to share your stories and suggestions about future topics.